Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's the word of God. You see how important the mouth is? See, faith is not just believing something's true. Faith requires your speaking. In fact, if you listen to your words, you can tell whether or not you're in faith or not. You can tell by your words. If you listen to a person's words, you can tell whether or not they're walking in faith. Faith is your connection to God. So stay plugged in. Stay plugged in. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is your connection to God. You got to believe God exists. You got to believe he is, and that he will reward every effort you have toward reaching toward him and experiencing him and coming into contact with him. So every born-again child of God has faith. Can you say that? Every born-again child of God has faith. That's scripture. That's Romans 12, 3. We've been looking at it over the last few weeks. We're still reviewing. So every born-again person has faith. It comes from God, and it's a gift to you to serve God's purposes in your life while you're here. Now, what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith did God give you? You should know that by now. That's exactly right. He gave you the same faith as the Son of God. The same faith. He didn't give you less than that. The same faith Peter had, you have that. The same faith Paul had, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, you have that. The same faith as the Son of God. That's perfect faith. That's flawless faith. Galatians 2:20 says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's powerful faith. I don't think you can get any better faith than the faith of the Son of God. But your faith that God gives you has to be developed. It has to be wake up every once in a while out of sleep mode. It has to be active. It has to be used. See, faith that is little faith, and the Bible talks about little faith, or it talks about great faith. And when faith is talked about being as little faith, it's faith that has not been fed the Word of God. Or it has become contaminated by fear. Fear will contaminate faith. And if you're not feeding on the Word, you're naturally going to allow fears to come into your life and all those negative things, and it will contaminate fear, and your faith will stay little. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, I read this morning. I thought this was interesting. Jesus tells a parable there in Matthew 13. He talks about the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man has good seed, and he goes and he sows good seed in his field. Everybody say good seed. What's good seed? It's Word of God. This man sowed good seed in his field. And when he went to sleep and men went to sleep, his enemy came and sowed tares among those wheat seeds. Now, that's a perfect illustration of what Satan's trying to do with your faith. See, the enemy will want to try to either steal your faith immediately, and that happens every time we come to church. Every time. People, they'll hear some scripture, they'll hear a word that God is trying to put into their lives and put in their, and they'll hear it and they'll recognize, I know God's talking to me right now through that. And before they leave or before nightfall, they've forgotten that word. They got distracted with other things, or they didn't like write it down and keep it to meditate upon it later. And it's gone. Satan has swooped down like a bird and he snatched that seed and it's gone. Immediately, as soon as the word is sown, the Bible says immediately Satan comes to steal it. Immediately. Now, I don't know who invited Satan to church, but he's not welcome here. But immediately he swoops down to steal the word because he's afraid that if that word takes root in your heart, you could become like the Son of God here with faith on the earth and nothing would be impossible. Do you like that song we sang? Nothing. Nothing would be impossible for you. So he's after the word. Satan is after the word. So he'll try to steal that seed. And if he can't steal that seed from you, he'll at least try to contaminate it with fear. Fear and doubt. And he'll try to contaminate your faith. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. The God-given faith, the gift from God that God gives you to be able to believe him, it comes from God. Jesus is the one who he initiates it, and he's the one who will finish it. In other words, he's on the job. He is going to ordain circumstances in your life to make your faith grow. He's going to get you in a place where you have to use your faith, and you have to wake up this computer here out of sleep mode and have to use your faith. And many times when people are in a situation, and they cry out for prayer, and all they want God to do is to stop the trouble. Well, it was the trouble that got them to pray in the first place. It was the trouble that's going to get them to exercise their faith. Solving the problem or eliminating the problem may not be the best thing that ever happened if your faith is most of the time in sleep mode. Are you with me? I'm not saying that God's the author of your trouble, but God sometimes has to allow some things in our life to get us to the place where we'll walk by faith instead of talking by faith. And so God wants our faith to grow. Jesus is the author and he's the finisher of your faith. Romans 12:2 says so. Romans 3:27 says faith operates by the law. A law of faith. It's like the laws of the harvest, the sowing and the reaping. Faith has certain laws, and it'll work for anybody, anywhere, anytime. Certain laws of faith. It means that there are things you can do, according to the Word of God, that will cause anyone's faith to grow and become stronger if you do them. I want to give you some of them right now. Are you ready? I want to give you 5 steps tonight, just 5 simple steps that will work for anyone to build faith, any believer, to build their faith anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance. If you take these steps, it will stir your faith. It will shake your computer upstairs and get your faith out of hibernation or sleep mode and into active mode. And that's what you need. Number one's going to sound so simple, you're not going to believe that you really need this, especially Wednesday night crowd. But number one is this: fellowship with the Father every day. I mean every day. Every day. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God and fellowship with him. You were created for that purpose. You were not created to be a mom. You were not created to be a dad. You were not created to be a pastor. You're not created to be. You were created for fellowship with the Father first and foremost, above anything else you'll ever do in your life. And you've got to see that, and you've got to determine that's the priority of my life. Not my work, not even my family comes before my fellowship with the Father. That's why I'm here. So you got to say nothing's more. And you got to, you at times have to put everything else aside in order to put God first. Well, how do you do that? I want to talk practically. How do you do it? Because we have some new believers here. But how do you do that? You make an appointment with God, just like you make an appointment with a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer or anybody else important. You make an appointment and you show up. In fact, if you're smart, you show up early. And you realize their time is valuable, and so my time here is valuable. You make an appointment with God, and you keep it. If you are casual about this fellowship with the Father thing, you're not going to go very far. Your faith will go into sleep mode. It'll stay there. Hibernate. You've got to be determined that every single day of my life, I'm going to make an appointment with God. I'm going to keep it. This is my time with God. During that time, I turn off my cell phone. I'm not available to anybody else. I'm talking to the creator of the universe. Who's more important than he? No, I'm sorry. I'm not available. There's a time that I'm not available to anybody. And that's the time I'm in fellowship with the Father. And you have to make an appointment with God. You have to do this. And then you have to read his written word. Take time and read his written word. Well, where do I start? Start with the New Testament. Start with the book of Mark. If you don't have a place, just start with the book of Mark. 16. And it's not how much you read. You just read until your faith begins to light up on the inside. You'll know. You'll get something out of it. If you read, say, I'm going to read a chapter a day. I'm going to read three chapters a day. Well, that may be good, but that may be too much for you right now. It's better to read and get something out of it and retain it and meditate upon it and think about it and digest it than it is to read the whole book and can't remember half of what you read. So this fellowship with the Father is vital. Skip and Diane, this is vital to you. This is essential. You've got to just say, this is it. I'm going to start a regimen. I'm going to start a plan for reading the New Testament through. And won't be long, we're going to have some pamphlets for you, like a plan to read the Bible through, read the New Testament through, and things like that in a year. And that sometimes that helps people. So how many of you are already making this the priority of your life? Would you just be honest, raise your hand? Okay, good, good. The rest of you need to get on board with this. That's a priority. Because you're not, the church is not going to do that much for you. I said that, yeah. Church is not going to do that much for you if you don't plug in yourself and your own relationship with God. It just ain't. You'll come and every once in a while it'll be a sermon to stir you up or a song to stir you up, but pretty much it's not going to do you any good until you determine that your priority is to have a relationship with the Father on a daily basis. And when you do that, something's going to change. For the better in your life. Number two, if you do this, this will stir your faith, I guarantee you. Number two, you meditate on and confess the word. Meditation is not the same as reading the word. Reading the word's good, but meditation is a step further. For example, when we look at the scripture like Mark 11, 23 and 24, which we read a second ago, When you just get that, there's just two verses there. That's enough right there to meditate on. Just read it again, but read it real slow. And ask the Holy Spirit, just ask him out loud, would you give me some insights here to this? Would you help me understand this? And read it slow. Maybe read it again. And you're not in a hurry here. You see, you're trying to get something out of this. You're not just trying to do this and check it off and say, well, I did this today. You're trying to get something out of it. And so when you meditate upon something, you visualize in your mind. Now, Mark 11, 22, 23 and 24 talks about the mountain. So I visualize a mountain. And it says that if I speak to this mountain and believe in my heart and not doubt, that this mountain we'll move. So I just, what are my mountains? I wrote about five mountains down today that I know I'm facing in my life. I got five that I'm aware of right now. May have six tomorrow, may have four tomorrow. I don't know. But I've got five that I face. And I stood up and I spoke to my mountain. But I could visualize this in my mind. You see, meditate. I've got a movie going on in my mind. And I can see this mountain. I see myself at the foot of this mountain. This mountain's big. And I'm speaking, I'm talking to a mountain. And I'm speaking to this mountain about what I want it to do. And I'm speaking to it. And as I'm meditating on it, you see, I can begin to see in my mind this mountain's moving. And you say, well, I'm not that creative. Yes, you are. God gave you the same kind of mind, and you just got to use it, you see. Meditation makes you slow down. And that's what we need to do. We need to meditate about what we just read. Let a movie go on in your mind. Like this morning, for example, I read this morning about God providing manna for the children of Israel out in the wilderness. And I just took time. I stopped. I felt like, well, God, this is what you wanted me to see today, so I'm just going to meditate on that. And I just thought about that. And I could see in my mind, if I closed my eyes, I could just see Israel getting up in the morning, people going out there, and they're seeing this white, cloudy stuff on the ground they'd never seen before, called manna, and they had to collect it, and they had to bring it back, and some of them learned how to cook it, and some of them learned how to do different things. I could begin to see that. See, I took time. If I'd have just read over that, I'd have read it and forgot it. But I meditated. I slowed down. I put on the brakes, and I just thought about it a little bit. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, that's how God has already provided all my needs. But he ain't going to go out there and get it for me, and he ain't going to cook it. Is that truth? That's the truth. He is not going to go out there and get it for you. He has provided for you, but he ain't going to go out there and get it for you. He expects you to do your part. God will do his part, make the provision, but he also expects you to do your part. Are you with me? That's how faith operates. Now, I know we know this, but see, coming out of meditation, come out thinking on it. You get little personal applications. I just tell you that to help you see that this is important. You need to slow down when you read the Word of God. Slow down. God's not in a hurry when you're reading his Word. And he wants to show you some things. And so I prayed after. I said, Lord, well, show me my provision. And show me my part in receiving it and bring it into my life. Show me how to go out there and get those things that I need. And I believe he's doing that. It's a process. So then number two, you meditate on, which is different. And then you confess. Speak out of your mouth. Like I did it this morning. I just said, God, I thank you for the provision. It's everything I need's already out there. Now, just lead me, guide me, and direct me to go find it and collect it and use it properly. Amen? I mean, there's $1,200,000-something out there that God's already got designated to pay off this church. I'm looking for it. I'm expecting to find it. I ain't expecting it just to come out here and be laid in my lap. Now, that'd be nice. But I'm looking for it. You see what I'm talking about? You have a part in this. Number three, talking about stirring up your faith. Pray in the Spirit about your mountain. Now, after I identified my mountains and I said what they were and I spoke to them like I'm standing right here in this sanctuary this afternoon, I stood up and I spoke to my mountains. I talked to them just like this. And I spoke to them like that. After I spoke to them and said what I believed that God was leading me to say to them, then I just prayed in the Spirit. Pray in your prayer language. And you say, well, I don't have a prayer language. Well, ask God for it. Just ask God for a prayer language. Okay? He wants you to be able to see the prayer language. Praying in tongues is important because your mind only knows so much stuff. And your mind will only pray what you know. But the Spirit knows all things, and he can pray everything through you that you don't know. That's why you've got to get out of your mind. Everybody at Grace Tabernacle ought to be out of their mind by now. But when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying out of your mind. You're bypassing the mind. And you are talking to God, and it sounds, the body will, and the mind will say, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. That makes no sense. You're absolutely right. It makes no sense. The Word of God says it makes no sense. But here's what the Word of God does say about it in Jude verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, how? Now, what did it say to do to your faith? It builds your faith up. How does it do that? I don't know. But God's word says it. I don't wait till I understand it before I do it. I do it. Understanding will come later if I need it. We walk by faith and not by sight. So I do this. I just pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I just pray in the Spirit as long as I feel like praying in the Spirit. And I don't know how to tell you, but I just know when I'm done. It's the Spirit of God in me. Okay, well, that's good. Now let's go on to this. Now that's important because you only know so much. And so praying in the Spirit will build your faith up. And I don't mean just, you know what you're directing your prayer toward. You're directing it toward this mountain. That's what you were talking about with God before, and you're standing up and speaking to this mountain, and now you pray in the Spirit about it because now you're going to the level where, you know, your mind can't go. You go beyond that. Amen? So praying in the Spirit, your prayer language, is an exercise that builds up your faith. How do I know? God's Word says so right there. So specifically, you are to call your mountain. You ought to call it, you ought to give it a name. Whatever your mountains are, you ought to give them a name. Usually mountains come in groups, don't they? They come in a mountain range. Very rarely will you see one mountain alone, but you usually see a range of mountains, more than one. What are some of the names of people's mountains that they're dealing with today? And a mountain is something that's standing in your way. It's blocking your progress. It's blocking you from going to the other side. Well, one of those, many times people will say, well, fear. Fear is a mountain. Well, that's true, but be more specific. How can I be more specific? Ask yourself questions. Well, if fear is one of your mountains, what are you afraid of? Well, is it a fear of man? Is it a fear of failure? Is it a fear of the future? Is it a fear of getting some sort of sickness? I mean, keep asking yourself questions till you can clearly identify the mountain. Are you with me? Well, that's important. Because you don't want to just talk to a mountain. You want to know the name of that mountain. And you are identifying it, you see. And then number four, and this is very, very important. You have to make a quality decision to live by faith. Matter of fact, just say that out loud with me. Make a quality decision to live by faith. You can't play with this thing. See, when you were born from above, God gave you the faith to even be born from above. And He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's got things for you to do, places for you to go, and miracles and signs and wonders He wants you to experience. He's got people that He wants you to lay your hands on and heal the sick. And it ain't ever going to happen unless you make a quality decision to say, that's it. I have crossed the line. I have made up my mind. God's word is my final authority. I'm going to be a person, I don't care if anybody else does, but I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to learn faith. I'm going to eat faith. I'm going to digest faith. I'm going to become faith. I am going to live this life of faith, a quality decision. Because if you don't make a quality decision to do that, the devil will talk you out of it the first trial that comes along. You must decide there is no retreat. Absolutely no retreat. You will be tested by the devil. And you must hold to your decision to live by faith in what God has told you, no matter what you face or what others say or what other people do. That's very important. And number five, last but not least, and if you don't do this one, none of the others will work. You must make a quality decision to keep the commandment of love. Faith will not work without love. You can know all the principles of faith. You can pray some great prayers of faith. You can quote scripture to the devil. You can do all these things. But the Bible makes it very clear that faith worketh by love. Galatians 5:6. You say, well, what do you mean walk by love? Jesus gave you a commandment. Now, we're not under the law of the Old Testament anymore. Praise God for that. But in some matters, we're under a higher law. Law of love. The gifts of the Spirit operate by love. The fruit of the Spirit's all love. It's manifested in different forms. Jesus said in John 13, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, to love one another as I have loved you, so shall you also love one another. So you're going to love people not because you feel love. Ooh, that just feels so good. You're doing it out of obedience because you have a new Lord. And because you have a new Lord, you have a new walk. You have a new life. And his order to you is very clear. There's no mistake about it. He says, I command you to love people the way I love you. Why? Because I give you plenty of love. I give you all the mercy. I give you all the grace, all the forgiveness, all the love, unconditional love you'll ever need in your life. And because you have an overpayment of love, you got plenty to share. You've received it, now you give it away. You give it away. And it's a commandment. A new commandment I give unto you. So if you're not obeying the commandment of love, and let's say you have some unforgiveness in your heart or bitterness in your heart, faith will not work. Faith will not work. Let me tell you why. Galatians 5:6. Everybody say it. Faith worketh by love. That's the word of God. Now it's very interesting to me that at the bottom of Mark 11:23 and 24, where Jesus is teaching about the mountain, and if you speak to it and you believe those things which you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. And then he goes on to say, and whatever you desire when you pray, believe you've received them, and ye shall have. Boy, we can preach that. We all can say, amen, I love that. I'm ready to put that into practice. But whoa, 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 stop right there. You got to read on, because there's more to that. And he goes on to say in verse 25, and so when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so in other words, bitterness and unforgiveness will stop faith right where it is. It won't go any further. It's all connected together. See, if you obey the commandment of love, then you can operate by faith. But if you won't obey the commandment of love, then your faith will never, ever, ever work for you. Can I get an amen from somebody? Now, it's like this. If you were to, if tonight we're trying to stir your faith up, trying to get you to walk with mountain-moving faith, walking in the faith of the Son of God. Not come hear a message about faith, but to get out of here and walk by faith. You don't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. That's what we sing. That's what we're preaching and teaching and saying. But you got a part in this. You got to do these things. God's not going to go pick your manna for you. You got to do this. God's not going to pray in the Holy Ghost for you. You got to do it. God's not going to read the Bible to you. You got to do it. Amen. So you have a part and God has a part. Say that with me. I have a part and God has a part. And God's faithful. He'll always do his part. So his faithfulness is not in question tonight. But you got to do your part. Now we're talking about stirring your faith up. So it's like this. I see it in my mind like this. Okay, we're putting the sticks together. Mm-hmm. We put some dry grass there, and maybe some pine needles and things like that together, and we get a lighter and we get a fire going, and we get that fire and that we got to look. We have a faith fire going. Look at that. We're feeling better already. We know that this week we got some assignment, we got some homework we got to do, but we started building some faith here tonight. Isn't it glorious? I mean, you got something you can go, you got the faith, you got something going on in your life now. It's wonderful. It's great. And then you get this little faith fire going in your life. You're praying in tongues during the day and you're speaking to your mountain. You're confessing the scriptures and you're doing all that. And then somebody, some knucklehead comes along and does something that just ticks you off. And it bothers you. And you got this faith fire going. And after a while, you're offended. You just holding on to an offense. And when you see this person, you talk to this person, you don't really want to talk to them. You don't want to have anything to do with them. And so you just, this offense in you starts to grow. Well, what happens to that faith fire? You just dumped a 5-gallon bucket of water on it. Well, I'm going to go back tomorrow. I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. I'm going to stand up and confess to my mountain. Well, you go ahead and do all that stuff. But you have done washed out every bit of fire of faith you're ever going to have. That's why I said this. You have to obey the command. You have to make a quality decision. There's basically two quality decisions. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. If no one else does it, I don't care how weird it looks. I'm going to walk by faith. And number two, I am going to obey, sir, the commandment of love you gave me. I am going to obey it. I will obey the commandment of love. If you do those two, you make those two, your life will change. Your life will change. In a short amount of time, your life will change. And so it's like this. If you don't walk in the commandment of love and forgiveness and all that goes along with that, then it's like this. Your faith is gone. And it's gone because faith worketh by love. And I wrote down a little saying here tonight. It's not proper English, but maybe to help you remember it. If there ain't no love flowing, there ain't no faith going. That's just a fact. I don't care what faith preachers laid hands on you. I don't care what faith formulas you have. If there ain't no love flowing, there ain't no faith going. Now, God said so because faith worketh by love. So you have to choose to walk in love just the same way you have to choose to walk in faith. It's a quality decision. And you know ahead of time you're going to be tested. Oh, my, you know you're going to be tested. But faith is a gift that comes from God to you. And that's God's part. He gives you some. Now, here's your part. And we're about to go home. I want us to put together two scriptures. And this is where this comes from. We're going to put together Romans 10:17. It says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And Galatians 5:6 says that faith worketh by love. So we're going to put these two things together here. And here's how it works. You're going to see God's part and your part. So let's go back to that screen. Faith cometh. Go back to the screen if you can. Faith cometh, that's God's part. Faith cometh, that's God's part. By hearing, that's our part. See, faith always cometh. It always comes. Because God gives it to you as a gift. But many times, if you don't have ears to hear, you'll miss it. The guy next to you will get it, and you'll sit there and say, oh, man, I can't wait to get out of here. And you'll miss it. See, your part is to hear. When you come to church, you need to be alert. You need to be saying, God is going to be talking to me through the pastor and through people, through the music, and I'm going to listen and take hold of every word that he speaks. That's your part. Now, faith worketh by love. So faith works. Praise God. Faith works. That's God's part. Faith will never fail. Ever. There has never been an incident in the entire universe where faith has ever failed. It will never fail. That's God's part. He's faithful. But your part is love. Because faith works by love. So it always works. But your part is to walk this thing out by love. In the midst of a world with a bunch of knuckleheads, you're going to have to do this. So your part and God's part. If you'll do your part, God will do his part. Okay? Two decisions to keep before you this week. Two decisions are this. Number one, I will walk by faith and not by sight. And you need to say that. That ought to be part of your faith confession on a daily basis. You ought to say before you leave your house, I will walk by faith and not by sight. I have faith in God's word is true, and I will walk by faith today and not by sight. Number two, your second quality decision is this: I will obey the commandment of love. God gives you a commandment. He gives you the grace to obey it. I will obey the commandment of love. If you'll keep those two decisions before you this week, you'll see a difference before Sunday. If you'll stir your faith up with those five steps that I gave you tonight, if you'll do that, I guarantee you, your faith will flourish. You'll see a difference. You'll notice a difference, and circumstances will change in your life. Those mountains will move. They will move. Now let's stand together. We're going to make a faith confession, and I hope you can see this. It's important to say things out of your mouth that agree with the Word of God. All right, let's say this out loud together. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I've chosen to walk by faith in God's Word and not by what I see, hear, or feel. God has given to every believer the measure of faith. Therefore, I have faith. My faith comes by what I hear, and I choose to hear the Word of God. My faith is in God. I believe without doubting the things I say shall come to pass according to Mark 11, 23 and 24. I speak to mountains in my way and they move. My faith works by love, and love never fails. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Now, let's do it. Now, let's just don't talk about it. Let's actually do this. I think, Michelle, are you coming up here to the piano, or is that you? Are you doing that? Is it? Okay, thank you. And let's have a little music, and let's have a little. Think about what are your mountains right now. Ask yourself some questions. What? You know, give a mountain a name. And just for tonight, and I'll tell you more about this later, you need to just practice. This may be just practice for you. But I'd encourage you to always come up to this altar. Just come up here. Or find a place you can get alone with God. And then speak to that mountain the desire you want to see come to pass that you know is God's desire. A body to be healed, a family relationship to be restored, finances to come, whatever it is. Just speak out loud to it, see. And then in another time, because we don't have enough time tonight, another time, what you're going to need to, because you need to identify real specific what these mountains are. And another time, maybe next week, Lord willing, you need to have at least two people come up and agree with you in prayer. The Bible says when two or three agree as touching any one thing, it shall be established. And sometimes you need to have important things like moving a mountain. You want people to come alongside you that will not just agree with you and float on their way, but it's like a covenant. They're coming in agreement with you. They're going to stand with you and they're going to believe this mountain is going to move. They're agreeing with you, and it's a covenant. And they're going to check on you and see how things are going. And we'll deal with more of that next week, because this is a covenant community we live in. We're no lone rangers here. You want to know what my mountains are? I'll tell you. But I'll only tell you if you're going to agree with me to agree in prayer with me that they're going to move. And then you're going to covenant with me to say, I will pray with you until we see this mountain moved. You see, that's the kind of people you want to know your prayer request. You don't want everybody to know. So, you ought to just do that right now. Somebody, you got a mountain? Just come on up. You just begin to pray. Don't pray to God to move the mountain. You speak to the mountain. If you're a little embarrassed, just put your hands over your mouth so your ears can hear you. The Bible says, faith is near you. It's even in your mouth. The Word of God is near you. It's in your mouth. So you speak it.
And when you speak it with the authority God has given you. You're a king, you're a queen, you're a priest of God. Your words carry weight and they have authority. But you've got to believe that and not doubt. And you make that quality decision now that I'm going to walk by faith and I'm going to obey the commandment of love, and God is going to move the mountains in my life. Praise God. Praise God. You feel your faith getting built up even at this moment. You might just want to come up here and begin to pray in tongues about your mountain. Pray in tongues to your mountain. You're not praying to the mountain, but you're speaking to that mountain even in tongues. You can tell the difference when that happens. Listen, if God will do his part, but if you ain't going to do your part, there ain't nothing going to change in your life. He's given you faith, and it's in sleep mode unless you wake it up and stir it up and use it. And when you use it, God is always faithful. Faith works. Go ahead, just speak it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now I'm building myself up in my most holy faith just to demonstrate to you. I'm building myself up on my most holy faith because God's word said so in Jude 20. Hallelujah. 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 Now, those of you here, also, you got to be determined you're going to walk out the commandment of love. If there's anybody you have aught against in your heart, forgive them, just like this. I forgive so-and-so as an act of my will right now. The way God forgave me, I forgive them right now. They owe me nothing. Just go ahead and do it. Just say it. I forgive so-and-so. I release them. God, you'll deal with them, but they owe me nothing. You'll deal with them. I release them, and I'm determined to walk by the commandment of love and obey this command. Hallelujah. And then just pray in tongues some more. Stir your faith up. Pray in tongues. It does make a difference. It will build your faith. Tonight we've said, faith, wake up. Get out of sleep mode and get active. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the good news is this. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name if you stirred up your faith. Some of you will leave here like you came. In fact, you'll leave worse because you've been told the word of God and you didn't obey it. And if that's you, I feel sorry for you. But you don't have to be that way. You won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.